Commence primary ignition.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
What a piece of junk.
Enterprise, this is the captain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's all part of the plan.
Engage.
Welcome back to Podcast 2 for 1. I'm your host, Donovan Thompson, with my co-host,
Daniel Wingfield.
And today we are talking about Hawkeye. Not just one episode, not just two episodes, but the whole package, the whole Christmas package, Daniel.
That's right, a whole ham of Hawkeye.
A whole ham of Hawkeye, or iHawk, as we've said in previous episodes. And if you haven't we have. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button, that notification bell. That way you're up to date on all future episodes of Podcast 2 for 1. And go to youtube.com/2for1studios, the best place to consume the content. Leave us a like, leave us a subscribe. And if you didn't know, Kapow Comics is our sponsor, located at 4047 East Kill Avenue in Sherwood, Arkansas. There they have comic books, collectibles, graphic novels, and of course, special guest appearances throughout the year.
Kapow.
Ooh, Kapow. Yeah, okay.
For a half second, I forgot which word to say.
I'm seeing triple.
Seeing triple. Is that from caffeine consumption? Are you pounding caffeine?
Dude, this is the first soda I've had on the podcast.
Ever, probably.
Ever, yeah. Actually. Yeah. It's a little tiny baby soda. Brought to you by Dr. Thunder.
So, I wish.
I literally ran in there to grab some of those caffeinated. Okay. And so let's talk about Hawkeye, Daniel. I know that the first two episodes here weren't too happy about. I know we both were kind of on board for episodes 3 and 4. And of course, we've hit Christmas time. We have hit the end of the show. And what are your thoughts? I have a couple.
Yeah, I think this show is one of the most consistent Marvel shows we've had, and yet not the best. And I think this show is maybe I need to go back and rewatch the first two episodes. Now it may change the way I feel about them going back, which shouldn't be the case. I shouldn't have to go back and rewatch them to feel better about them after I watch the rest of the series. They should be amazing on their own. But yeah, I think the show is a super solid 7.5 to 8 out of 10. Like, just pretty solid right there. I think that it doesn't take a lot of risks, and to its detriment, I think, at times. I think how
Did you say 8.5 out of 10?
No, 7.5 to 8. Okay. Like, between 7.5 and 8. Like,
although that's
it's
pretty
a solid
high.
Good. It's not great.
Wow.
It's not bad. It's not okay. It's just good. You know what I mean? So, overall, I think it was an enjoyable show. I think there's some things that made me scratch my head. I think there's some things that I would have done differently. But overall, I enjoyed it. I thought the finale was what it needed to be. And it was good. It was fun. I mean, I'll always take more Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin. And we got some really nice moments with that. Some moments that were a little weird, maybe, but overall, yeah, a good show. A good show. Not great, but good.
Yeah, you know, I will say I think the finale was a little weaker than the previous two episodes or three episodes or whatever. Just for the fact that typically, like I said, I think this last podcast we talked about this, Marvel tends to almost nail their endings, or at least I say endings, nail the spectacle of the endings. I mean, Loki is more of a intellectual spectacle. Like, it's more of like look at the possibilities for the multiverse. It's not like huge, right? But they still had like the giant Loki, or the Loki and the giant fireball. Captain America, we had him getting his suit. WandaVision, we had Vision coming back fighting White Vision.
The final battle between her and
Agatha.
What's her name? Agatha was very like it, that whole sequence could have been in a feature film Marvel. Like, that would have been the finale of the WandaVision movie if we had that instead of the TV show.
Yeah. I mean, just side note, I would argue that the Agatha / Vision, White Vision fight is probably the most cinematic thing we've had like fight or anything we've had in the any of the Disney Plus shows in terms of like Marvel movies, because that feels like they just ripped it off a movie. Everything else you can almost kind of be like, okay, a little bit of TV, a little bit of whatever, that feels like a movie. That's fucking nice. And maybe the bridge sequence in Hawkeye, actually, that's also pretty cinematic.
Sure.
That feels like Ant-Man, like it could come out of an Ant-Man movie. That being said, you know, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for the most part. I just wasn't blown away, just kind of like you. I think there was some, again, these showrunners keep like doing these expectation things and kind of setting us up sometimes for not failure, but like they just needed to like not talk sometimes, I think. And
what are you alluding to?
Well, they mentioned just wait for episode 5, your mind's gonna be blown. And don't get me wrong, that's a mind-blowing thing. It is. But it's not.
Wait, what was the mind-blowing thing about episode? Just that Kingpin is the last shot.
It was the out of focus photo of Kingpin. You know, like that's what they were talking about. And like, and don't get me wrong, that's like if someone said, if I hadn't had all the rumors, if I hadn't had confirmation that Charlie Cox was gonna be coming back as Daredevil or all these other things,
right?
That's a big deal.
Out of the blue, that would have smacked us across the face. Yeah.
But like that comment was made in the midst of all these rumors. That comment was made even after we heard Vincent D'Onofrio's voice in episode 3.
And exactly. And yeah. And I agree. It was fine, but it was also maybe like the most boring. Like okay, we're gonna see Vincent D'Onofrio for the first time in the MCU, and you're gonna show us a blurry picture on a phone.
It would be like
Hawkeye's gonna say, "Oh yeah, that's the guy I've been worried about. That's Kingpin." Credits, and you're just like, "There was no big pow. There was no grandeur to the moment. They were just like, I don't know, man. Dude,
no, it's literally like Nike coming out and like they have the picture of the next Air Jordans, but it's like on a, you know." stock photo, it's out of focus, and they're like, and at a press conference, and they're like, here's the new Air Jordans for next year. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah,
that's so weird.
I mean, and especially in context with how much he did in the last episode.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a much better way to even just, I mean, have him on, like, have him actually do something. Like, let's see him in person at the end of that episode. Like, I don't get why we did it that, and maybe it was scheduling. Maybe it was, I don't know. Like, I definitely feel that
that's
the
it.
COVID constraints... Yeah. The COVID constraints were felt, and I think that probably is even most felt maybe in some of the finale, like, action sequences. But yeah, it was – you're right. I think consistently the showrunners, the people that – and who knows? Maybe Marvel, like, is telling them to say this kind of stuff, or, like they're going to these marketing meetings before the press conference and be like, okay, you say this, don't say that. But, like, they're shooting themselves in the foot pretty consistently. And it just feels like, let your work speak for itself. Don't try to set expectations that can't be met. And that's pretty consistently what they keep doing. And yeah, overall though, I mean, and like getting into the finale, I thought Kingpin was really fun and was.
Oh yeah. I mean,
I loved his Hawaiian shirt outfit. I know that's like a straight from the comics.
Loved
run.
It. Yeah.
And he just looked really cool. Seemed much more super powered than the last time we saw Kingpin in Daredevil. Which, was he in the Defenders? Was that his last appearance? Or was it?
No, it was season 3, yeah.
Okay. Right. Man, he had some like iron gut, like, you know, launches, which I know that's like very iconic to his character, is like throwing his gut around like a wrecking ball. But yeah, no, he was fun though. I mean, I thought he looked like he stepped right out of Daredevil in terms of characterization and like still bringing that just, like psychopathic hint to everything he does. Yeah. And I really, really, really enjoy, I mean, like he did on screen what I want from D'Onofrio's Kingpin, which is like those little quiet moments that you can just see his like homicidal tendencies churning, you know.
No, I mean, if someone had just showed me like the dialogue scenes, I would never have known that it was not from Daredevil, other than like the color palette, whatever.
Sure.
I'm saying just the way he spoke and his dialect and everything. So I was actually, you know, really surprised and also really happy that they let him keep those choices. I was surprised.
He was the best. Yeah.
I was surprised by his, you know, seemingly super strength he had. I mean, in the comics, you know, it's like Kingpin is comically like 8 feet tall and probably like 20 feet wide.
Well, he has like ridiculous strength. I don't know if it's superhuman, but he's like ridiculously strong. And
yeah,
he's just like a super heavy guy. So he just there's just like 800 pounds of force behind every punch. So like, even if you're not super strength, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, exactly. And it was always like an interesting, we didn't talk about how strong he was. He wasn't a mutant, but he was like, he could fight Spider-Man in the comics kind of thing.
Which makes
no sense, but we accept which it.
But he was always kind of using his criminal like organization to do a lot of it for him. Right. I mean, like that was kind of
he's not much of an
orchestrator. You know. He's the puppet man. He's trying to pull all the strings.
Well, I mean, I guess the best example I can say it is in like Into the Spider-Verse. He's literally like a building in the tall.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I liked his Spider-Man. Depiction in that.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. But no, I mean, so like him being back was great. We can go ahead and talk about this. So I was like a little, whoa, they're going to kill him off already in this show. But they did. We don't see the body one, and I think I may have mentioned this to you guys. But in the comics, he gets shot by Maya in the eyes and goes blind. Almost,
I heard it was almost like exactly the same way, like pain for pain, kind of shot for shot, recreated in some ways from the comic strip.
Yeah, it's pretty close, and I think it's interesting because, I mean, we got like a little hint of Netflix Daredevil, and I think we'll just get that little small spin on it now coming up in the Maya or the Echo TV show. So I guarantee she's gonna be an Echo. Wait.
Or Daredevil will be.
What do you mean?
Who will be an Echo?
Kingpin, probably.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yep. I mean obviously, I mean, I feel like he's gotta come back. I honestly hope he comes back for bigger things in some ways. I get that He's a great TV show villain because of what we just discussed, because he's not Loki or, you know, Ultron or like these like planet destroying villains. He's a small timer, at least in respect. I mean, he really operates in one city, and that's pretty small time for Marvel villains. And so I get why they like, or, you know, he's kind of this, he's great for TV. He's great for MCU TV. Honestly, he could show up in a lot of shows. I mean, I'm honestly hoping he kind of becomes this recurring villain character that's showing up all, like, I want him in She-Hulk. I want her to prosecute him, like, in the opening episode or something. Start telling his story, like, slowly throughout these other shows, right? Like, I think that, like, do something like that. And I feel like he loves the role so much. And, again, he just works so well for that kind of lower-scoped Marvel story that I hope he comes back in a lot of things.
Well, I think you're right. I didn't even think about She-Hulk, which the idea that him just being
Matt Murdock's got to be in that, right?
Yeah, if Daredevil ever shows up,
he's the only other lawyer superhero, right? Is there any other lawyer superheroes that you're not? I mean, you're doing a lawyer superhero show and you're not going to have Matt Murdock.
I know.
Oh, man.
We may or may have not seen Spider-Man No Way Home.
Well, it doesn't matter because he's already confirmed. But Kevin Feige has confirmed Matt Murdock's coming back in the MCU. I'm not referencing anything that someone may or may not have
seen. I'm not either. What's Spider-Man No Way Home? You know,
I don't know. I don't know. It sounds like a dumb movie.
May have seen it twice. Maybe seen it again Sunday. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? You know, I'm really excited about those possibilities. And like, real quick. This is what happened. It's not even fucking Hawkeye anymore. I think it's cool having Kingpin being blind and also having to fight Daredevil again, who's also blind. Yes. There's something about that. I don't know. I mean, obviously there's something about that.
I'm into it. And I wonder if they'll completely blind him or if they'll, I mean, who knows?
That's a question.
Kingpin with an eye patch or something. I don't know.
It would be weird if he like turned his body and she shot into a bullet through both eyeballs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess that might be weird.
Yeah, they'll figure something out, I'm sure. But let's talk about the other parts of the show, because I think there's some interesting stuff there too. And I know we're trying to keep this one a little shorter.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought that, honestly, even just jumping off of Kingpin, I was really disappointed Barton didn't fight him. I honestly felt that Kate Bishop's victory over him felt a bit unearned, just in terms of her character arc and like who Kingpin is supposed to be.
It like made him super powerful and also neutered Kingpin at the same time.
Yeah, it was interesting because it's not like she like owned him. She kind of like, it was very kind of like accidental chains of events. Very Home Alone, honestly. Like, yeah. And it just, you're right. It was like, well, Kingpin just got beat by like a teenager, or you know, she's not a teenager, but she feels like one almost. And like, it just, yeah, I agree. It felt weird. And I wish, I wanted kind of a last, like, we got the whole ice skate rink thing with Clint and they got that moment with Yelena at the end, but I wanted him to kind of, if this was his last hurrah as Hawkeye, I wanted a bigger hurrah for him in particular. Like I honestly would have preferred it if like, hey, you know, Kate Bishop holds her own for a while and then Kingpin really finally is about to get her. And then, you know, Clint comes in and helps or something. But
no, I agree. And I think it's also kind of weird that, or not weird, but no, I agree with you. I think it was a weird way to kind of introduce Fisk. And it just, they had, again, I think I said this a couple podcasts ago, and for some other reason, they have a villain problem. They keep thinking they have to do something completely different with the villains. This was another perfect example where they could have ended the first episode with Kingpin. We didn't really need the mom being, I mean, the twist of the show could still be the mom.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying?
The scene where she has her mom arrested. I told you that mom daughter relationship never worked for me. That was like the icing on the cake of this is the most fake ass on screen mom daughter relationship.
Yeah.
Like your father died when you were a child. So your only parent left. You're like barely shedding a tear, kind of getting a little emotionally broke up in the voice when you're having her arrested for murder, which you will never see her out of prison again. If justice system works, she'll be in there forever. Like that just doesn't work. It doesn't, like, I didn't sense any kind of like, oh, what is she, does she know what she wants to do? Like it felt like she was always going to send her mom to prison.
Right.
I never felt like there was any indecision. Like it just felt so fake. Like the chemistry was not there for them at all. Like they felt like a mom and daughter on a sitcom, not on a real, like a show trying to at least somewhat ground itself in our reality. And that you know, final scene was just, and then like they're sitting on, and like the whole thing of like, well, Clint takes her home for his Christmas and it's like she's happy now, like her mom's going to prison, but it doesn't matter, her mom's,
her
a
dad's
murderer,
dead, her mom's, you a know, murderer.
It doesn't really matter.
The only good guy was her actual stepdad, the swordsman, actually I think his name's in the comics,
which was actually funny, and I loved his little moment in the finale. Was that, I guess, the last episode where he's got the sword and kind of being Mask of Zorro over there, but
yeah.
It was funny, but it wasn't. And also the whole cosplayers getting into costume to direct people.
That
was just,
I won't lie.
Funny.
That, no, I mean, yeah.
You liked it?
Let's, no, fuck no.
Okay.
No, okay, I'm having PTSD. Them like, okay, let's stop in the middle of the action. We can't do this without our costumes. I'm like, first of all, it takes fucking forever to put on your goddamn LARPer costume. I mean, cosplay takes a while to put on. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, they had to go up the fucking flight of stairs, come back down, and now they have the courage to direct people to the area. That's just like bad storytelling. And also, the LARPers just don't work this year.
Yeah, the LARPers throughout the whole show were a bad decision. Like, they were trying. I don't actually know what they were trying to do. It's like, trying to appeal to like nerdism in like fringe part of nerdism, but like kind of make fun of it, but then also kind of pretend like you're trying to make it cool, but ultimately just totally fail at making it look anything but other than a waste of time for our TV show. It was just, and honestly, a lot of these elements just felt like not thought through. Like this show as a whole just felt like very like the story, like getting together what happens was rushed. Kingpin, honestly, because he was in the last episode, that felt like a late addition. I would not be surprised if they didn't, if that was like a reshoot or pick up shots later and they like fucking changed the script or something at before the, because this show's been in the hopper for a long time, right? I mean, they would have been
that
out.
That sounds kind of, that kind of sounds right, because I mean, think about it. Kate fights him at the end by himself. It's his
voice in a one room tiny toy store thing. Yeah. And he's never in the room with more than two people ever on the show.
Yeah, I mean, that photo was probably photoshopped to shit, you know, that one that
could have been, or I mean, they could have taken it when they shot that one scene with him and his mom. They probably just, you know what I mean? It's just like, I mean, he never changes costume, which fine, whatever. But like, it feels rushed. It feels last second. It feels like everything was just kind of thrown together. Okay, was there more significance to his wife being a former SHIELD agent? Did they allude to anything deeper there?
I did call it though.
They act like it's this like thing though. In the show, they're like, "Oh, thanks, honey." And she turns it, and we zoom, and it's a SHIELD symbol, and you're like,
"I think it was just to say exactly what I said, that she just used to be a SHIELD agent."
But, right, but like it's like you're going back just to justify contrived mysteries throughout the show of what's going on. Like it just feels like we're like, oh, what's can be going? Oh, but what if we make Clint's wife a former SHIELD agent and we just try to like make it mysterious?
Here's cynicism for you. I for some reason feel like they were like, "Hey, do you want to come out for this Disney Plus show?" And she was like, "No." She was like, "No." Maybe. Other than the money. And they're like, "Well, what if we like make you a spy in season two, or you can come back as a, you can fight, and we'll like justify your character's decisions to this season."
Maybe, but there's no way she was on set more than one day.
And then maybe why she done it. I don't know. I'm just saying like,
I mean, I hear you.
It kind of feels like either the filmmakers were, or everybody was kind of like, "Hey, we need to do something with this character because we can't just have a mom sitting at home taking care of the kids," kind of thing. So, it felt like a decision.
That's what she did. That's it. Is what she did. That's exactly what she did. And then she like, you know, like, the significance like of the watch was that it connected Clint to his family. Like what
the significance was to either make her feel better as an actress, for them to justify their conscience, I think, because
what story wise, I guess, like what oh, why
it doesn't. No, it doesn't make, it doesn't matter. It doesn't help. It doesn't do anything.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. I mean, it's just, it's honestly, it's rooted in their fear that they, I mean, hey, you know what? Moms are heroes too, people.
I guess so. Let's just have a story that's actually about that. No. Not to like, try to like, you know, shove that into the corners of this show.
Well, yeah. I was saying stay-at-home moms are heroes too. I was saying that, Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with raising kids, Marvel?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, there's some interesting things here. I will say this. I like the Yelena and Kate Bishop relationship. I think that's fun.
It was good. I thought it was maybe just a little overused. They leaned definitely on it too hard.
Yeah, they're too, like, they make Yelena talk for fucking ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, she has she drags it on too long.
She's a little too like constantly sarcastic, like just constantly, yeah, constantly. So that you're like, it's like, I'm never taking anything you're saying seriously because you're constantly. I mean, maybe they could do something interesting with that later. But to me, that's very one note. And
it is.
You're right. I agree. They had some good dynamic and they could. I could see them doing a good show of them, like, you know, teaming up for something, for like a young, I don't know what it would be, like Young Avengers without any real powers show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here's
a tidbit. You know, I feel like Kate and Yelena, they have these quirks or personalities that feel like, you know, supporting character personalities.
Yes.
Yeah. Yelena is the sarcastic one that quips every
comic relief.
Yeah, and so is Kate. She has like this bubbly, I'm the rookie thing. And you
yes, the rookie. Yeah.
You need the Hawkeye or the Black Widow, like the Natasha, to be there to kind of, you know, actually do the serious stuff to kind of push the plot forward. And you have them making the joke for every Marvel, every 5 minutes they have a joke they could do for Marvel. And now it's getting like, okay, we're getting rid of the actual players, and now we're having just the supporting characters, and all they can do is quip with each other. You know, so it's a weird thing.
Yes, I agree. I and just on the subject of Yelena too, I was not a fan of the whole finale conversation with her and Clint, or the cutting back and forth between her beating on him and talking. He just talks enough till she believes him. That's what happens. Like that's how they resolve it. Like, I don't believe you, but it's true. Well, I still don't believe you. I'm gonna beat you up some more. Well, I don't believe you. I'm gonna kill you. Your sister talked about you all the time. What? Really? You know, it's just like, it just feels thrown together. It just feels like, what it feels like is what happened in the writing room is that you're writing the story and you're like, cool, Yelena and Clint, now they're together. What happens? I don't know. And you start trying to figure out, instead of like working, like what I think works better is working back from an interesting conclusion, or working backwards, like having an idea for how this can all come together and working backwards. It was like, oh, well, shit, now they're on the ice streak. What do we do? I don't know. Maybe she hits him. And then she says, I don't believe you. And he says, but it's true. And then she hits it. It just feels like that's the writing that happened, and it made this, and even the Kingpin thing too. It just feels like that we didn't start with good ideas to work back from. We started with, we need a Hawkeye show. We need Yelena and Hawkeye to make up now. How do we do that? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I'll do you one better. They're not doing it like that far out going, man, they're on the ice rink. They literally made that stinger when they made years ago, you know, you know, and then now they're coming up with a whole show to justify the stinger. That was and most of the time Marvel gets away with this. They actually paint themselves in the corner. They typically get out in an interesting way, but this was the
thanks to the Russos. Thanks to the Russos, they get out of things in interesting ways.
Or Marcus and Stephen McFeely. Yes, but this was the case where it didn't really work. And also, again, whenever the answer, even like whenever we walked into Black Widow, we were like, well, he's just got to talk to her. When the answer is that.
Yes. Don't build up to it. Don't make it a built up climax if that's what's going to happen, because then it just feels dumb.
Yeah.
And really, and also, stretched out when we're cutting back between that and Kate Bishop fighting Kingpin.
And as we're talking about it, here's what makes it really weak, is that we never had a scene with whatever the hell her name is from Seinfeld, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. We never had her, or at least we don't know why she wants to kill Clint. That's important.
My assumption was that like Kate's mom used her to get in touch with, like used her to hire an assassin.
But how would you ever make that
Because what other connection could there be? That's honestly, it's like, what's left? Like, what's the simplest explanation is kind of what I'm going with.
But I thought that's actually kind of complex. I mean, maybe not complex, but like,
I mean, if she's working with Kingpin, I would assume she like maybe even used Kingpin to find someone else to get into contact with.
Oh, Kate's mom.
Bishop's mom.
Oh.
Well, because Bishop's mom is the one that hired Yelena.
I thought you were talking about Black Widow's mom hired Julia Dreyfus.
Oh.
Remember?
Was who did it?
Well, remember at the end of the stinger, Julia Dreyfus hands her the picture of Clint and says, you got to go kill him now. He killed your sister.
Right.
Remember?
Why would you assume that was Black Widow's mom that did that?
I thought you were saying Black Widow's mom just now.
No, I was saying Kate Bishop's mom. I was saying, I just assumed Kate Bishop's mom just hired her, or like went through find someone.
But why would also Kate Bishop's mom hire like this government agent who is making a secret Avengers?
Why did she hire him to kill Clint at all? What? Why was that done?
Well, I don't know if she did. I mean, she did say that. Yes, she did hire her. You're right. She did. But then why did, what's her name?
Did that happen? Did that happen like halfway through the show? Did that like happen after like Clint came over to their house with Kate? And then maybe she hired her like in between. But that wouldn't make sense because, I guess the stinger from Black Widow could have happened during this show.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it makes it seem like, I mean, Valentino is the one who hires, or at least is putting together a team and kills. That's weird. I think it's a plot hole.
This is just the symptom of it's convoluted as fuck. And
it is. That one is. This one
and
is.
All that to say, it is one of the most consistent Marvel shows. Because it is convoluted the whole fucking way through. And there's equal amount of things that don't work as do work in every episode. And to your credit, Marvel, that's consistency. So
yeah. Yeah, the show never hits the highs that the episode 3 did, which is the bridge scene.
No. No, yeah.
Which was fun, but like,
for sure.
Definitely. And yeah, in the warehouse and everything, that whole episode. But I mean, again, I enjoyed it. I was looking forward. I mean, I was in a restaurant in Puerto Rico trying to download the final episodes. So I was like, I wanted to watch it, obviously, but
yeah,
it wasn't like the WandaVision and, you know, Vision Loki. And yeah, it didn't have that. I mean, like even honestly, Captain America,
I would say all of the finales were better than this one.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I will say this. Oh, easily. Oh, What If had one of the better ones, maybe, especially if you've watched the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness teaser, maybe even like What If make it better in retrospect.
That's true.
All that to say, all this criticism, all of this shit that we're piling on this show after we said we liked it, it was probably good enough for a send off for Hawkeye. And it, to some degree, that's just like, I mean, maybe that's just my own personal connection with his character. I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, would I have wanted a better show? Yes, but that has applied to every single one of these shows. So I don't think, I'm not sure that, to me, I'm just like, it's not going to kill me if I never see Hawkeye again. I know we will see him again. I know he will suit up one more time for our Multiverse of Madness, big shebang.
I don't think he's done. I mean, this show does not give me the impression that he's done at all. I mean,
That's true.
I mean, he gets a new suit at the end. He says, I got a new partner. I mean, it feels like Jeremy Renner's like, you know what? I'm going to make the big bucks for the next 5 years.
I mean, honestly, it's not like Jeremy Renner's got a lot else going on. I mean, I know he's been doing a few movies here and there, but like his thing, I mean, he's known as Hawkeye. Like he could ride this paycheck for the rest of his life.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he probably makes a lot of money doing these now, and why not? I mean,
you're Hawkeye, you're now one of the last original Avengers left. They're going to keep dropping off. You know what I mean? Like, there's some gravitas there.
No, you're right. I mean, he's one of the five, right? He's six. There's three are gone, and who knows what will happen with Thor coming up and X, Y, and Z. I do want to say one final thing. Sure. The after credit scene. I read online that the showrunners.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. The showrunners were saying like they shot this obviously when they shot the first episode, and they were really surprised that Marvel chose this, which just kind of shows the power that Marvel has over its own showrunners. But it's the Rogers musical. It's like the first. It's like the whole act. It's like a 5 minute.
Oh, I didn't even watch it. I honestly didn't even check for an after credit scene.
Oh, really?
I think I was just like adequately fresh. I just didn't even think about it. No, so that's all it is. There's nothing fresh.
You were
frustrated? I was just kind of like, all right, well, that's over. Fine, let's done. I mean, I just didn't even think. I just didn't even think to look.
Gotcha.
I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like that whole musical. It's like a 6 minute after credit sequence. Fun.
That's fun, but it doesn't have any significance, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the reasoning they said was we want it to be light. It's Christmas time. We want to have like a fun send-off kind of thing, like light, like the rest of the show. Man. And I was kind of like, that's like, I think only light after credit sequences work after like for a cool down, like Avengers 1. Here's shawarma after the Thanos scene.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, after credit sequences should be like, they should always be teeing something else up for the most part.
I agree. Maybe they don't have much ready to tee up. I don't know. Well, we've got a big gap. We've had one of the longest gaps in MCU content since the pandemic. I mean, at least. I mean, it's
a whopping 4 months. Yeah.
Which feels weird in context of what we've just gone through, which is a year of WandaVision, Loki, Captain America, What If?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it's been almost constant.
We have so much happening on, like, Mervix and I have so many more pods in the next couple of weeks because of all the other content. I don't feel a break at all. I feel like I'm severely behind, actually. But
well, and you know, once we get to it, I feel Spider-Man No Way Home is such a big deal. It makes sense to let it cool, maybe for a few months after that.
But. You said that earlier. The name Spider-Man No Way Home. What's that?
You know, I'm getting it mixed up. I'm thinking of Spider-Man. Can't get home. I don't know. It's one of the other ones, but I rewatched it and I keep.
Maybe we'll do a podcast on this. Maybe movie you're talking.
We'll
about.
Do a retrospective. Yeah.
a couple of years from now. Daniel, how can our listeners write into us?
Listeners, you can write into bit.ly/241mail. There, you can let us know what you thought of Hawkeye. If you disagree with us, suck it. But if you did agree with us,
bitch,
you suck it if you want. But bit.ly/241mail. Let us know what you thought, please.
Yeah, and if you can't hit us up at our Bitly, you can always leave a comment in the comment section below. Assuming, of course, you are on YouTube, youtube.com/241studios. The best place to consume the motherfucking content.
If you're not on YouTube, you cannot see my wonderful alien looking jellyfish tank that I received for Christmas. And I'll just say it's cool. And for that reason alone, you should subscribe to youtube.com.
Yeah, you should. You should, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, Daniel, I'm glad we got a Hawkeye show, I think, just for the fact I got to see Kingpin again.
Yeah, that's like literally the best part of the show.
It really was. His photograph was amazing.
That's right. That was the peak. Yeah.
It really was. But we have some content around the corner, of course, maybe some special web slinging movie. So stay tuned, viewers. And of course, if you didn't know, my name is Donovan Thompson.
I am Daniel Wingfield.
And we have spoken. We'll be right back.